Welcome back to the podcast. It's been a strange year, hasn't it? I'm recording this in 2021, and we're still not at the end of the current worldwide pandemic. People have been searching for comfort in all sorts of places, whether that's in family, in medicine, or in simply having more stuff. Where are Christians meant to find comfort? Well, over the next few weeks, we're going to be playing some sermons I've been giving from the book of Isaiah. This book is foundational to the New Testament, and the New Testament authors seem to say that their message is in line with it. So we're going to see what it says, and we'll see where God calls us to find comfort too. We're going to be in Isaiah 43, as you can see on the screen there, Isaiah 43, 8 to 15, and I'm going to read that for us now. So starting at verse 8. Lead out those who have eyes but are blind, who have ears but are deaf. All the nations gather together and the peoples assemble. Which of their gods foretold this and proclaimed to us the former things? Let them bring in their witnesses to prove they were right, so that others may hear and say, it is true. You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, so that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me, no God was formed, nor will there be one after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and apart from me, there is no Saviour. I have revealed and saved and proclaimed, I am not some foreign God among you. You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, that I am God. Yes, and from ancient days, I am he. No one can deliver out of my hand. When I act, who can reverse it? This is what the Lord says, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. For your sake, I will send to Babylon and bring down as fugitives all the Babylonians in the ships in which they took pride. I am the Lord, your Holy One, Israel's Creator, your King. So this evening we are entering the courtroom again. If you've been with us over the past few weeks, you'll know this isn't the first time we've been here in Isaiah. This is a trial that dwarfs all other trials. We saw previously in chapter 41 that all the world was being brought to this trial. The islands, those far off, the ends of the earth, all called to this cosmic court case. And this cosmic court case is here to demonstrate one thing, to demonstrate who the one true God is. Now, when we see a court case in Isaiah, we might be thinking to ourselves, it's just a metaphor. It's just something that's being used for effect by Isaiah. But to dismiss the picture as, say, a literary style, well, it's to miss a key part of the argument. You see, there is a reason why Isaiah is using this picture. In fact, this evening, we'll see this idea. It's been running through the Old Testament for a while. And one big aspect of this court case is to demonstrate the big question. And the big question is, how can we know the one true God? How can we know the one true God? And you see, the big thing that this court case does is to demonstrate that the line of inquiry is true, that the truth here is tested by law. Now, if the evidence can be thrown out, then we should have reasons to be concerned. In fact, if Isaiah can be shown to be false, then Israel has no hope. And as we've been seeing the last few weeks, that should be of grave concern to us. So at the start of this court case, we saw God saying that he was the one true God. He showed us that he was incomparable, that nothing compares to him, that he has the power to save his people. And he's shown that he's caring. He's shown that he cares so much for his people that he's going to bring them back. But now here in Isaiah chapter 43, verses 8 to 15, we're given the next piece of the case. So the question is, what is new here in Isaiah chapter 43? Well, what's new is the witnesses. But why do we need witnesses? Surely God's word is good enough. Well, remember, we're in a law court. That's the picture Isaiah's given us. And in Isaiah's day, there are many, many claims to be God. You have all these idols around the world. They're all vying for the name. You see, to be God, to be called God, is a contested title. Now, previously, God has said he can prove himself by what's about to happen. But the issue is, the original hearers, they need to wait. They need to wait to see if God's telling the truth. In fact, the original hearers, they're going to be long gone before some of these things come to pass. I mean, you might as well say that Mystic Meg, do you remember her? You might as well say that Mystic Meg is God, if that's the case. I mean, anyone can say something that's going to happen in the future. You need to prove it. And that's why we need witnesses. You see, a witness, there's someone who sees an event and they testify to it. A witness can say, yes, it is true. And that's what we see this evening. How can we know the one true God? How can we have certainty of our God's unique claim to be the only true God? Well, Isaiah's answer here is by his witnesses. Now, if you've been listening over these past few weeks, that might not fill you with hope. Just have a look at verse 8. Isaiah reminds us again. He says this, "Lead out those who have eyes but are blind, who have ears but are deaf." So we've seen before, haven't we, that the witness, Israel, is blind. They're deaf. I mean, if that was the linchpin of a court case today, we might wonder if the defendants are having a big joke. We've got to remember in Isaiah, being deaf and blind, it doesn't mean the physical disability. Here in Isaiah, it's those who don't understand what they have seen and heard. You see, this witness here, they can still testify to facts, even if they don't grasp the reality behind it. They can still say that that is true. Well, the challenge is made in verse 9. All the nations gather together and the peoples assemble. Which of their gods foretold this and proclaimed to us the former things? Let them bring in their witnesses to prove they were right, so that others may hear and say it is true. You see, the whole world is here and God issues his challenge. Which one of their gods foretold this? Which one of their gods proclaimed to them the former things? World, who do you want to call as your first witness? But there's silence in court. There are no witnesses. There are no witnesses of any other God who's done this. See, Isaiah is bold enough to say there is no witness because there is no answer. Just notice that. Isaiah's whole case here could be blown to pieces if one, just one, witness was to come forward. Israel's whole hope of the return of exile could be dashed if just one witness demonstrated that their God had done this. This is a bold move. Well, the witnesses, they have no, well, the nations, they have no witnesses. But God does. Verses 10 to 13. "You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant whom I've chosen, so that you may know and believe me. And understand that I am he. Before me, no God was formed, nor will there be one after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and apart from me, there is no Saviour. I have revealed and saved and proclaimed. I am not some foreign God among you. You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, that I am God. Yes, and from ancient days I am he. No one can deliver out of my hand. When I act, who can reverse it?" See, in this court, God turns to Israel and he says to them, "You are my witnesses." Now, in what sense are Israel God's witnesses? Remember, they're deaf and blind, but they can still attest to facts. Well, previously in Isaiah, the forces of Assyria, they've swept up to the neck. And yet, God rescued them. Israel witnessed that. But bigger than that, flick with me in your Bibles to a chapter we don't regularly look at, Deuteronomy chapter 32. Deuteronomy chapter 32. It's on page 210, if you have one of the church Bibles. We've spoken about the Exodus being God's big rescue up to this point. And Isaiah has been saying that God's going to do the same thing again. But in Deuteronomy chapter 32, at the end of Moses' time, He sets before the people a choice between life or death. He says, do this and it will go well, or do that and it's going to end badly. And as we come to the end of Moses' life, he gives Israel a song. You can see that in the verse before, chapter 32 starts, Deuteronomy 31, verse 30. See, the title there is given, the Song of Moses. Now, the thing with songs is they get stuck in your head. I mean, Joanna has a TV show she's watching at the moment. And it has the most annoying theme tune, but Izzy and I find ourselves singing it all the time. It's stuck in our heads. It's so annoying. You see, the thing about songs is they help us remember things, don't they? And this song here in Deuteronomy 32, it's a song that's meant to be remembered. It's a song that's going to be a witness to the people. It's going to be a song that's going to be stored in their hearts and stored in their children's hearts. The very last verse of this chapter, or the last verse before, verse 46 at least, he said to them, take to heart all the words I have solemnly declared to you this day, so that you may command your children to obey carefully all the words of this law. So what is this song then? What is this song of witness? Well, we're going to see more of this song as weeks go on. But it starts by reminding the people how God rescued them. Just notice the language of verse 12, Deuteronomy 32, verse 12. The Lord alone led him. No foreign God was with him, the him there being Israel. Yet it doesn't end well for the people. This song here, it speaks in advance. Notice that, in advance of how God will give up Israel to foreign powers. Sounds quite familiar to Isaiah, doesn't it? And then verse 39, Deuteronomy 32, verse 39, God says this, see now that I myself am he. There is no God besides me. I put to death and I bring to life. I have wounded and I will heal. And no one can deliver out of my hand. I mean, that's a really fast tour of a pivotal Old Testament passage. But hopefully you've seen enough for the moment. The point being that Israel, right from the days of Moses, they had this song. It's a song of witness, a song that reminds them of what God has done for them. And a song that reminds them of what God is going to do for them in the future. Jump back with me to Isaiah 43. You see, Isaiah can say to Israel that it is true. Israel can say it is true. Israel can testify in this case that God did reveal and save and proclaim. It's in their Bibles. It's in their heads. They are witnesses of this fact. Even if the witnesses don't understand the implications, they can say, yes, this is true. See, there is only one true God, and Israel needs to get that. There is only one true God, and the world needs to get that. One God. Isaiah 43:11, I am the Lord, and apart from me, there is no saviour. In fact, that word there, no, really means no. There is no other. And why is God saying this to them? Well, verse 10, you are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, so that you may know and believe and understand that I am he. Before me, no God was formed, nor will there be one after me. God tells Israel this so they can know, so they can believe, so they can understand. That's what needs to happen here. And so, God can say what's going to happen in the future again. That's what's going on in verses 14 to 15. Babylon, the great nation that's going to take Israel away. Well, God promises it's going to fall. The one true God has said it. And when he acts, who can reverse it? So how can we know the one true God? Well, God's witness can attest to this. Even though they're deaf and they're blind here, they can't deny that God has revealed, he has saved, he has proclaimed. Israel have the evidence they need to know this to be true. They have that song of witness. They can attest to all these claims here. And we, well, we're many years later than this, aren't we? And we have even more than that. We can look back at this passage and we can see that God did keep his promise to bring the people back. Yet we have far more than that, don't we? in John chapter 13, verse 19, Jesus is talking to his disciples. We saw this a few weeks back on a Sunday morning. He announces to his disciples that his incoming death, but he does it in a very Isaiah-like way. To see how similar this sounds to Isaiah and to Deuteronomy, actually. John 13, verse 19, Jesus says, "I am telling you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe that I am who I am." We have the witness of those disciples, a witness that demonstrates even more firmly who Jesus is. I am who I am. We can know the one true God. We can have a sure witness. We have a sure witness that's bigger than Deuteronomy, even bigger than Isaiah. We have the gospel.
Well, I hope you found some comfort there. Any feedback can be sent to me on podcast@david-couch.com, and I'll see you next time.